Hello, 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 mamas, and welcome to another episode of Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven by Alana Song. My name is Angela Presley, and I am your host today. And I am so happy and grateful to welcome today Susan Young Oski, and she's going to tell us about her beautiful daughter, Brittany. I do believe that she has two daughters that live in heaven.
Yes.
Yes. Two daughters that live in heaven. So we don't want to leave that out. We definitely want to acknowledge all the babies.
Okay.
So, yes. So I'm going to give Susan the floor to tell us her story. Susan has a book. We're just going to go into all of this. And I love just the thought of heaven. So to just read a little bit about Susan and how she is also talking about heaven just gave me so much joy and excitement. So I am really ready to hear your story, Susan. Go ahead and introduce yourself and just feel free to talk about anything that's on your heart.
Okay. My name is Susan Oski, and I'm a retired school teacher. My daughter Brittany was a real blessing to me because before her, I lost a baby in the second trimester, and that was pretty traumatic. And, you know, going into this next pregnancy, of course, I was worried that I was not going to make it to term again. But she was premature, but she was fine. So we got through that hurdle with a lot of prayers and anxiety on top of it, though.
Yeah.
But we got through. And I mean, she was just the joy of my life. She had an outgoing personality from a very young age. And she would tell you what she thought, even as a 2-3-year-old. She never held anything back. You know, my husband and I would never like that at that age. We wouldn't be like that. You know, she was just very different than the two of us. She just expressed herself. And even more as she grew older, you know, she expressed herself. And, you know, we grew to be friends, you know, as she grew older. We were friends and we traveled a lot together. We went out to dinner often together and we would just talk.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the type of girl that would tell me a lot of things that sometimes a mother doesn't always want to hear, but she would go there and she would tell me.
Yeah.
I think she was comfortable with me because she knew I wasn't going to scream or yell, but kind of direct her back, you know, put her back on the right path. You know,
that's
what it was like with her. You know, going into her teen years was challenging. She seemed to have some psychological problems and problems that were, that I just did not show until she was about 13 years old, you know, right around puberty for some reason. She started showing signs of anxiety. Her personality was not what it was like. Low self-esteem, just very, just concerning behavior. I put her into therapy right away, you know, talk therapy. And she did that for a little while. And then we decided to go back to it and do it again. And this time I took her to a psychiatrist because she would have outbursts and she would threaten to hurt herself. And I didn't know what to do about it at that point. I said, you know, and she did go to the doctor and he did put her on medication therapy, but it was never right for her because she never, her behavior changed, but not in the way that it should have. It seemed to, you know, her problems seemed to get bigger and bigger, you know, after taking the medications. It just never worked out.
Yes.
You know, of course, I was always concerned, and I always said to her, you know, I'm always here, you know, I put her first because she needed me. And even, you know, as a teenager going into a young adult, 20 years old, she needed me.
Yes. Yes. Just, always. Always.
You know, so she was actually put in a psych hospital a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to come out worse than when she was going in. No, I don't. And, you know, she volunteered to do it during the summer break so she wouldn't have to miss school.
Okay.
You know, she said she'd do it so she'd be ready for school. Like, she really wanted to help herself. She really, really tried. You know, she never fought me on any kind of, you know, whatever advice I gave her, she did it because she wanted to get well. And she just didn't get well.
Mm-hmm.
As she got older, it got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a friend that was heavy into drugs, but she had gone out to a friend's house that night, and she had a cyst on her body that was very painful. It had burst open, and she was in a lot of pain. And her friend told her, "I only have one thing to give you that can help with the pain, and that's liquid methadone." And she gave her the liquid methadone. It used to be used as a pain reliever, but now they use it for heroin addicts to help get them off that. So I never even knew methadone was in liquid. But she took that, and she obviously took too much because in the middle of the night, she passed away.
Oh, man.
And they didn't find her. I guess her friend was sleeping in late that day. It was a weekend, and, you know, I believe it happened in the very early morning hours, but they didn't find that she was gone until around 12 o'clock.
Yes.
So she was laying there for all that time, and it was just, my sister was a police officer at the time, and she is the one that came over to tell me. Which I'll be forever grateful for her doing that instead of having to talk with strangers.
Yes.
But I will never forget her words. To this day, I remember those words, what she said to me, and exactly what I did. And after that, I was in such shock. I just walked around not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't settle down. I had to deal with my husband, who has his own issues, and now his child is gone. He called her his little lamb, little lamb. And he would say, "My little lamb is gone. My little lamb is gone." You know, so anybody that's lost a child knows the pain, the tremendous pain. It was nothing like anything I have ever felt before.
Exactly. I know exactly what you're speaking of. Exactly.
It's a pain I never knew existed. You know, just something like it's hard to explain. I can only explain it to a mother who's lost a child or a dad, because they know what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it's unnatural. And that's why you can't explain it. You can't explain this type of pain. You know, the love is strong, so the pain is strong. So,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And immediately I felt her presence around me. I started having visitation dreams where I would dream about her.
Yes.
And they were very real. They were very real. And I felt she would calm me down. You know, she was there smiling and, you know, giving me the confidence that I can move on.
Mm-hmm.
I started to travel a lot. I went to different places where Brittany and I had planned to go together. And even though now I had to do it alone, which was very difficult the first time I went without her, I knew she was there, even though she wasn't here physically.
Yes.
And her favorite flowers was roses. And I used to all of a sudden start smelling the scent of roses.
Wow.
Wherever I went.
Wow.
I mean, I could be home here. I could be in Florida visiting my sister. It doesn't matter. All of a sudden, I feel it. I smell it. And I know however they do that, I don't know, but she found a way, and because she knew it would come from me and I would know that she's there. But I was always very open to these things, you know, of, you know, your children watching over you and helping you, guide you through all this pain. I truly believe that they do. I have no doubt.
Yes. Definitely. And it's something, again, before there's some people before they lost their children, they just didn't believe. They did not believe in, okay, you know, this is a sign. This is my daughter smiling. She's letting me know that everything's okay. But afterwards, it's like an opening. It's like an opening to another realm. And you're like, I noticed this. I see this. Mm-hmm. I smell this, you know, and I just believe it's their little ways of saying, Mom, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Yes, because they really have to look after us because of what we've gone through. And, mm-hmm. you know, I feel they know the pain that we're in. So I think they'll do anything to help us along. And she has. Mm-hmm. It's been over 5 years now. And I still sense her around, not as much as it was in the beginning, but I think I needed it more in the beginning.
Right.
You know, that first couple of years, I felt like I was still in shock.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden the weeks, the months, the years were passing by. And I still felt like this couldn't have happened. You know, I kept thinking, did this really happen? And then I have to say, it did happen.
Wow.
You know, so her presence was very strong. The dream visits when she would come to me and she looked beautiful and mm-hmm. she looked happy and she looked at peace and she did not have any of those problems anymore when I saw her. There was no more mental issues. You know, she was happy. She seemed almost relieved.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hold on to that because I know that we are going to see our kids again someday.
Yes.
But our kids know how difficult life will be for us mm-hmm. as we go along on this journey. Although things have changed and I've learned how to deal with the grief and the pain a little better than I did in the beginning, there will always be a part of my heart that's missing. You know, it'll never be back like what it used to be. You know, it's just impossible.
Wow. Your words are exactly what I feel, what moms across the globe are feeling. So just hearing you say exactly how I feel is just bringing healing and confirmation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be a lot more difficult on me if I thought that I was never going to see her again. And mm-hmm. I know there's people out there that feel that way, but I think once you lose a child, you really look into it and you're really paying attention to what's going on around you.
Yeah.
And I knew she was just trying to tell me that she's making her presence known and she's there and she's happy. And I have so many family members over there.
Yeah.
And I know they're all together.
Yes.
And they're all together and still watching out for us over here because they know what a challenge this life is.
Oh yeah, definitely. So I'm going to ask what, you know, with Brittany just being around you and giving you her signs that she's okay. Besides that, what ignited you to say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and write a book. I'm going to go ahead and write a book and tell us what got you going, because I really want moms to know and feel that you can do it. You can get up and do something. You can find a purpose through this.
Yes.
So if you can let us know,
okay,
because I have my days where I'm like, I'm not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I'm not doing a podcast. I'm not doing nothing. So there are moms that are stuck in that where they can't find a way to do anything. So let's go into that a little bit.
Well, it took 3 years after her death for me to start writing anything down, you know, putting it together as a book. Before I did start journaling and I started thinking about my own struggles as a child and a young adult, because a lot of them were similar to Brittany's. You know, I had been through all this already, and I started to write down things. I wanted people to become more aware of the mental health problem and the mental health system that we have. You know, there's a lot of people that need help, children or adults. So I started writing down all my experiences and what Brittany went through, and struggled to try and get her help, and, you know, me feeling like a failure because I was never able to get that help for her. Although I feel now, I know it's not my fault. I did everything that I could have possibly done.
That's right. That's right.
And honestly, in her 21 years, she lived an amazing life. She, we would go away together with my sisters. I was a teacher, so I had the summers off, and we'd go away together with my sisters in the summer. And they spent a lot of time together. She was a, you know, I spoke about all these things, but my main focus was definitely on the lack of help, mental issues. I just felt like I was going in circles. Nothing was working out. But once I started to journal things, and then I started putting it together in a book, starting with my experiences and leading up to Brittany. And there were a lot of things about her I didn't even know until she passed. Her friends came up and told me how kind she was to them. She stuck up for bullies, and she did. I had no idea, because it was like she. I mean, she did not live a long time, but she did make a mark on the world.
Yes,
and I really think that no matter what the age of the child or adult is, that they made some kind of a mark. And I realized that she made. She did things that I never even knew. I just, you know, she was very much a believer in everything has to be fair. You know, we have to all be equal, and you should treat people with respect. Don't bully. You know, it's just all of those things that, you know, she practiced what she preached, basically.
Wow. And I'm sure, because I got the same thing with Alana, I still run into people that tell me things about Alana that I had no idea.
With
you speaking on that with Brittany, you know, Alana stood up to a lot of, you know, bullies, and, you know, with her friends, she wanted everybody to be happy and things to be fair with her friends. So I definitely understand what you're speaking of here.
Yeah. I mean, she just was that type of girl, even as a little girl. And you know, going into her teen years has meant, you know, she had a lot of struggles, but she was never unkind to anyone. And, you know, she was outspoken about her views, and she wouldn't be afraid to pick a argument with someone if something doesn't feel right. If something's just not right, or if they're doing something that's just not nice, she would tell you. She would tell you she doesn't like it, because she saw the world the way it is, which it can be sometimes very dark with people doing things that aren't so nice. And I just feel she was a bright light.
A light, yes.
And I still believe that her light is still shining bright, even though it's not here, but it's over there. I completely believe that.
Definitely.
You know, I know. I mean, I look forward to the day we can be together again.
Yes.
You know, I know that I have to live my life here and go on and do, you know, whatever else I have to do, but there'll be a time. You know, I know the years go by so fast. I mean, just watching her growing up and turning into a doll. I mean, it happened in a blink of an eye. Life goes by like that, you know? But I really wanted to write the book to let people know the kind of person she was. And even though she had those struggles, it never made her unkind. I feel like she still had a mission to accomplish, like, I'm not going to say save the world. I mean, she would have loved to, but you know, she just, you know, her friends would tell me that she'd stand up to the, somebody's being bullied, she'd stand up to the bully, you know, it just, she really, she was the real deal.
The real deal. Definitely. Definitely.
And I loved hearing over the years, all the things that, how she treated people and how she was nice to people. And, you know, that, that made me proud. Yeah. And that also made me help. You know, I think in the beginning, I had some guilt thinking I should have been able to prevent this. I should, you know, going back and thinking about the whole situation. No, there's nothing I could have done. You know, at her age, you know, she's going to be, you know, she was in college and she's going to be going out, you know, with a car and everything. I mean, you can't hold their hand forever. I did whatever I could.
Yes.
You know, to guide her through life. But they get to an age where you have to let them go. I never really wanted to, but I had no choice. I had to.
Well, yeah. Yeah. We definitely have difficulty giving them their space to grow.
Yes.
Because we, you know, we're moms. We want to avoid the, you know, the hits on the head. We want to stop that hurt, that pain.
Yes. Yes.
As much as we can. So it's just in us to do that. And then as they grow, they want to, you know, pull away and walk on their own and, you know, experience life as they grow. But yeah, they're always our babies.
Yes. So, I mean, of course, when she was a teenager, I always gave her my opinion if she was with somebody that I didn't think she should be with.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that's not something I ever held back.
Definitely.
And I would say to her, I've been through this. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Definitely. I did not sail through life as a teen either, as a young adult. There were struggles. I said, I know what I'm talking about. And you just hope that they listen to you.
Bingo. Bingo. And
it's so hard. You know, I had guilt in the beginning. I don't anymore. Because I feel that I did everything possible to help her with her mental health, getting her to doctors, changing doctors when I needed to. You know, I did my part. And oddly enough, a few days before she passed, she said to me, Mom, I love you and I know that you've done everything you could to help me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's dissect this a little bit for other moms who's out here dealing with the mental issues for their children. And I'm so glad that you're emphasizing that I did everything I could do.
Yes.
I did everything I could do. So moms out here who's listening, who have lost their children the same capacity, please know that as moms, we do everything we know to do, and our children know that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Even though, well, they were here, they might not say it. I mean, I was shocked that she said it.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
They might not say it, but they do appreciate it. Yes. You know, they do. Every child wants a loving mother, you know, a mother that loves them. That's just what every child needs and what they want.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to moms who are struggling with a child with the mental issues that they're battling when they keep hitting a wall, when they take them here? And there's no answer. When they take them there and there's no answer, what were you doing? What was your process as far as, okay, they're not helping? I know we're fighters for our children. I know that we're fighters and we are not to give up.
No, so, and I didn't. And even though she was an adult, she still wanted me to come in to talk to the doctor, the psychiatrist, because I would tell him what I'm seeing at home and what the things that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just shrug his shoulders. And I'm thinking, why, you know, I'm trying to get help for my child here. And then he told me that I was trying to diagnose her. I said, no, I'm just telling you what I see at home. And I honestly felt I was at a roadblock at that point.
Okay.
You know, and I know if parents go through this, they're probably, you know, the ones out there who have children that struggle are probably going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if she was still here, I would have gone around until I found the right person for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe there would have been somebody out there, but I just didn't have time to find it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go outside of my insurance plan and actually pay for it out of pocket to find someone
Definitely.
That was good for her. Somebody that would listen to her, somebody that would listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very stressful time for me. I understand that how difficult that is. Mm-hmm. As far as trying to deal with her loss, I started doing things, you know, besides writing down all my thoughts for the book, I started doing things for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing things that I enjoyed, things that I needed to feel better.
Yes.
You know, I've always been a traveler. I do that even more so now. And I have friends that go with me, or I'm visiting my family, and that helps. It helps to have a support system. So I know some people moved away from me after this happened. They moved further away.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's other people in my life that are now closer because of it. And they're the real friends.
Yes.
You know, they're the real friends. It might not be a large circle. It's a small circle, but it's important to me because I'm getting what I need through them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how is Brittany's dad? How do you guys heal together yet separately?
He has grieved in a different way than mm-hmm. I have. For the first 2 years, he cried and screamed every single night for 2 years,
yeah.
Or 2.5 years. And it was really bad.
Yeah.
I grieve where the way I get my feelings out is by talking about her and about the life together that we had. I think that's very important to find people that you can talk to about your child. You know, because like I said before, not everyone's going to probably want to hear it all the time, especially after 5 years. But you need to keep close to you the ones that do support you, even after all these years. Now, my husband has alcoholism and mm-hmm. mental problems of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of a strain to try to get himself together after this tremendous loss. Everyone grieves differently.
Yes.
You know, my way is talking about it. And his way was pretty much keeping to himself and just crying.
Mm.
You know, and to see that for 2.5 years, nobody knew what was going on behind closed doors except me. I mean, it was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even sure he was going to make it because of his issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's pulled through so far. Our relationship is actually stronger now, and it really wasn't even before she passed.
Wow.
I don't know how that... I mean, I look back and I'm thinking, how did that happen? We were having issues before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of his issues, it was just... But, I mean, we get along a lot better now. We weren't getting along for a very long time.
Wow. Wow. Just, it's, again, you know, grief somehow ties the knot into love. Somehow. It just does. As much as our hearts are hurting and it's love still finds its way to intertwine in between.
Yes. I believe he finally realized that he needed me more now, you know, mm-hmm. than even before.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was a big part of it. You know, he was, she was his little girl. And then one minute she's here and the next she's gone. I mean, that's just a shock to the system. You just can't believe it, you know? I mean, sometimes I still have flashbacks of those days, but I think that's normal. I think that's going to happen sometimes. You still remember what happened, the tragedy, what happened on that day. And it's not, you learn to deal with it better as time goes on, but it's never gone forever. You're still going to have, I mean, because I saw a lot of things that, you know, I had to ID her in the morgue, and that was horrible. That was just horrible. And you know, and when I was with him, of course, and I didn't think he was going to be able to get up. I mean, it was just horrendous. Oh,
yeah. And I'm so glad that you're being real about the horrible part of this.
Yes.
The horrible part of this, because there's plenty of us out there who, you know, feel as if I'm the only one going through this much pain and horror about this grief. No, it could even tie into the husband relationship, the family relationship. You know, it's, there's some horror behind this. I was protected, as far as identifying Alana. So I cannot imagine living with that picture in my head.
In my head. Yeah, I have that picture in my head forever and ever, unfortunately. You know, my sister wanted me to, she wanted to go down there and ID it. I said, no, I need to see her. I need to get closure and see that, she, you know, but I'm sure as a mother, you can understand that. And she did too. And she's just like, I wish you would have let me. I said, it's just something I needed to do.
Yeah.
No, I had to give myself closure and realize, yeah, this really happened.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That's good. That's good. That's good. Because even though I was protected from doing that part, there's still moms out there who can relate to what you just said.
Yes.
They needed to see, they needed, you know, it's our babies.
Yes.
Our babies. They needed to do that themselves. And wow, talking about strength. Talking about strength.
Yes. It's hard. Sometimes you do feel alone as a grieving parent, because I know in my circle, up until I lost Brittany, before that, I didn't know anyone who lost a child. After it happened, I started meeting, I started going to a grief group for child loss, and then I started meeting people that I never, that lost children, and we all had that in common. So everything we would say to one another, we all understood. And that's definitely something that we need. You know, we're fortunate that the internet is here today, because years ago, you wouldn't even be able to find one another.
Exactly.
You know, I have friends all over the country who, you know, grieving parents, and it's not, it wouldn't have been possible without technology. And then because I like to talk about it so much, who would I talk to about it? You know, I mean, if I talk to Chris about it, he still gets very upset. So I know not to go overboard with it with him.
Right.
But other people, I think it's really important that you find somebody that's going to listen to you, and then you can listen to what they have to say. You know, it goes both ways. I'm just very grateful for the people that have come into my life at such a horrible time. Now I know a lot of grieving parents, and I never knew it before.
My sleepless nights when I'm just lying there, I can't sleep. Alana, you know, you just want them. You just want them. And what helps holding me together in those sleepless nights, you know, besides knowing that she's somewhere having a wonderful time.
Yes.
besides knowing that, is knowing that there's moms all over the globe who gets it. They're up at night just like I'm up at night.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just it's some kind of a comfort. I don't want to misuse it, but it's some kind of a comfort just knowing somebody out there gets it.
Yes.
I'm not the only one up tossing and turning, you know?
Yeah, because there were those nights where I would just go outside and stand in a rainstorm, just crying my eyes out, mm-hmm. You know, especially that first year.
Yeah.
You know, I'd started to deal with it a little better as time went on, but there's always a time that you're going to, you know, like her birthday, her anniversary of her passing, Mother's Day, all the very difficult days for grieving mothers. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I chose to do is celebrate her birthday every year. Mm-hmm. I have her friends come over because I'm still in touch with a couple of her friends, and we celebrate with a cake and we share stories and we blow out the candles. And on her day of passing, I do like a little vigil. I light a candle, mm-hmm. and order food for, you know, whoever's going to come over, and again, celebrating her life.
Yes.
You know, so one day we celebrate her birthday. The other day we're celebrating her life and the mark that she made on the world. And I really think all grieving parents need to do something like this, because I couldn't just, those days I would always get so nervous and upset coming up to that actual day. But when I planned something to do, I was able to deal with it a little better. You know, when I had plans for that day, you know, even if you have a party with your other children for her or go to the favorite restaurant, some mm-hmm. of the mothers have told me they celebrate in their restaurant. And
yeah,
I think it's a really good thing to do. I really do.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Just the healing process, just every little bit, you know, helps us get through the journey. Just every bit.
And you have to do what you need to do to feel better. Like for me, well, I decided that I was going to get a makeover, had my hair done, had the lashes put on, I had makeup put on, and just feeling good about myself, something that's going to make me feel good.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
You know, that's part of taking care of yourself, whatever you want to do to make yourself feel better.
That's excellent advice for moms out there. Get some time for you to make you feel better, even though you could be just screaming on the inside.
Yes.
You know, just screaming on the inside. Take some time out for just you, to pamper you, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to spend the day at the spa, you know, go for it. If you want to see a movie alone, go do it. You know, whatever you enjoy. That's what I focus on now, whatever mm-hmm. I enjoy. When I go down to Florida, my sister has grandchildren, so mm-hmm. you know, it's always nice to see them. They're little guys. It's always nice to see them and play with them. And you know, I look forward to those kind of things that help me.
Good, good, good. So before we wrap this up, is there anything you want to share, like your book title, where we can find your book, your social media platforms where we can find you? And
the name of my book is called The Scent of Roses, and it's on Amazon, and it's also on my web. I have a website. Mm-hmm. It's on that too. And it's my website is thescentofroses.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of information about my book, about me, about Brittany. But you know, any parent that feels like they want to write it all down, do it, because it's very healing. It really is. I've spoken to quite a few other parents that have written their thoughts down and what it was like to lose the child. Mm-hmm. But that also gave me great joy being able to talk about her and making sure no one forgets her.
Yes.
I think that was one thing I always worried about, was people were going to forget her.
Definitely. Definitely. All right. So I just want to thank you again for joining me. This has been a wonderful healing time.
Yes, it has been.
Yes. Susan, you were just great. And I know that your story about you and Brittany are going to heal moms all over the globe. So I just want to thank you for, oh, your nuggets just gave me, a little strength to go further. Just wonderful listening to your words.
I'm glad you found me. I really am, because I really enjoy this, and I really enjoy talking to a mother that understands.
Yes, I definitely understand. Definitely. So again, I'm going to thank you. Moms, I thank you for hanging out with us, listening to Angel Moms, Hopes of Heaven, brought to you by Alana Song. I'm your host, Angela Presley. And I will see you soon, mamas. Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.